introduce you to the audience. Filippo is an associate researcher, postdoc at the University of Rome, Tor Vergata, since a couple of years before he graduated at the University of Padova, where he did welcome the pandemic, staying there for 1 year more as a postdoc. He's a specialist of cosmic microwave background statistics, high order statistics. And today he will talk about, as you see on the screen, on more astrophysical contents coming from CMB analysis. Please.
Okay. Hello, everybody. Thank you, Carlo, for inviting me to this seminar. So, as Carlo said, I'm a postdoc researcher. Now I'm back in Padova, also with my position, not only physically. And so I'm working with Alessandro Renzi in Padova, by now in embodied simulation. The work I present today is was made when I was in Rome, Tor Vergata, where I remain until May this year, and it concerns the extraction of galaxy cluster pressure profiles from the joint analysis of STP and Planck. Carlo said I work a lot on same data analysis, but before I was working in the estimation of higher order correlator for the study of primordial. Okay, so in the talk today, I will first provide a brief overview on galaxy cluster and cluster observation. Then I will present this work outlining the methodologies results. So the paper submitted, is accepted to ANA, but I have to update the link here.
Sorry, Filippo.
See, yes.
Can you try to speak a little bit closer to the microphone?
So the microphone is on my head.
Thank you.
This is strange. Okay.
Okay.
I try to speak louder.
Online is fine.
Okay. So the microphone is here, so I can really move near to it. Okay, I try to speak louder.
Yeah, are you moving to the next slides or are you still on the first one?
Sorry?
Are you still on the first slide?
On the first?
Slide?
Yes, yes.
Okay, it's fine.
Yes. Okay. If I speak louder, can you do you hear me better? Okay. Thanks. Okay. So sorry for the technical problem here. Let me use a pointer. Perfect. Okay. So let's start with a brief introduction about galaxy clusters. Clusters are the most massive gravitationally bounded structure in the universe. They evolve from the largest overdensities in the primordial field that start gravitational collapse, so that they probe the evolution of the universe on the largest scale. Clusters are at the crossroads between cosmology and astrophysics because, as I told you, they probe the evolution of the largest scale, so the spatial distribution and number density and clustering properties are sensitive to the cosmological model, so they can be used to probe cosmology, but at the same time, since the clusters are essentially everything, we have a plethora of astrophysical phenomena that can be studied and that we can use to track the cluster properties. So, for example, galaxy evolution, the study of the intergalactic medium, and the physics of hot plasma. You can see here in the right a composite image from the JWST telescope. And Chandra, X-ray observation, the blue nebulosity is from X-ray. And this picture gets all the content of the class. here you can see some general properties. Mass of the cluster range from 10 to the 14th to 10 to the 15th solar masses. They can contain hundreds, but also thousands of galaxies, and the typical dimension is around of megaparsec. So, despite what the name suggests, the most of the mass in the cluster is not inside galaxies, but it consists of dark matter and gas. Dark matter counts more or less 90%, and the hot gas more or less 10%, while galaxies count only for some percent of the cluster mass. Here you can see that if we isolate the two image, we can see better the components. So galaxy can be seen in optical on ER, like in this case, and dark matter instead can be seen in this picture, can be not really seen, but can be tracked in this picture from the gravitational lensing of the background galaxy. So here you can see the non-distorted galaxies are the one in the cluster. So you can see essentially this large elliptical in the middle and other member here, while the distorted galaxy, the heart that you can see here, represents the background galaxies lensed by the gravitational potential of the cluster. So we can track the total mass from the lens. On the other side, with spray, but also in millimetric, as we do in this work, we can track the gas. What is the gas? The intracluster gas is a large amount of hot ionized gas that lies deep into the potential well of the cluster. This gas is around 10 to the 7, 10 to the 8 Kelvin, and emits in X-ray via thermal ultraviolet, so we can observe it through X-ray. And an important thing is that the gas is in hydrostatic equilibrium. Being in hydrostatic equilibrium provides us the assumption of hydrostatic equilibrium, provides us with some relation that we can use to link the observable, like X-ray luminosity that tracks the number, the density, and or the spectroscopy that measures the temperature, and we can track to the hydrostatic equilibrium relation to the total mass. So we can do cosmology with this observable. So another observable that we can use to track the dust, the gas, that is the one that we use in this work, is the Sinner-Zeldovich effect on the CMB photon. Since that when the CMB photon move through this gas, they are scattered by the relativistic electron. This cause a distortion on the CMB spectrum with the shape that you can see in this plot on the right. The animation here moves through the different Planck tunnels, and you can see here how Planck sees a cluster at the different frequency band. The interesting thing about Sinner-Zeldovich effect is that it's only dependent on the electron pressure integrated along the line of sight, and is independent from redshift. So that this provides a complementary probe with specific X-ray that tracks temperature and density of the cluster thermodynamic condition. So with X-ray and millimetric, we can have a quite complete picture of the galaxy cluster thermodynamic condition. Okay, this was a brief introduction. If you have some more questions about the cluster, you can invite you to ask me after the talk. So let's start describing the instruments that we use in this work. We use Planck, that is a very famous ESA satellite mission. It was launched in 2009, and it observed the sky at 9 frequency bands from 30 to 857 GHz, with a resolution up to 5 arc minutes for the most sensitive channel. Planck team identify more than 1,000 clusters through the Sinner-Zeldovich effect in these maps. The South Post Telescope, instead, as the name suggests, is located in the Hamilton Scott Station in Antarctica, at the South Pole, exactly at the South Pole, and in the it provides a different survey, the Sunny Zeldovich survey that we use, observe the sky in three frequency bands, 95, 150, and 220 gigahertz, with a resolution of 1.75 arcmin, span 2500 square degrees of the southern sky, at quite high galactic latitude, not so high, actually, not a bit in color, what I'm writing here. SPT identifies 677 cluster candidates with masses greater than 10^2 × 10^14 solar masses and a maximum redshift of 1.7. So Planck and SPT are complementary since SPT higher resolution allow to study the inner regions of the cluster, while the Planck high sensitivity allow to track the faint peripheries of the cluster. So combining the two data sets, we can track the pressure profile of the cluster from the core to the peripheries. So in our work, we identify a sample of six galaxy clusters common to the SPT and the CheckMate catalog. This work was made in the context of the CheckMate collaboration. CheckMate was born as an X-ray follow-up with 6 mm Newton, and it's a X-ray satellite of 118 Planck clusters, so Planck clusters identified by Planck, the Planck catalog. But then it evolved in a multi-wavelength follow-up, and now we have observation not only in X-ray but also in optical, radio, and other millimetric facilities like SPT. And so the aim is to give the most complete description of these clusters to date. So we have the X-ray counterpart. The important thing is that being in this collaboration, we have the X-ray counterpart of this cluster. You can see here the X-ray surface brightness map of our subsample. And in this work, we can exploit the X-ray data as a comparison, both and using them both as a benchmark of our technique, but also to study the impact of the cluster structure on the relation of these two different observables. As you can see here, the sample in this case is small, but we have different morphologies, more relaxed cluster like 339 or 271, and more disrupted one, and also intermediate morphology. Also the dimensions are quite various. We have the smaller one is 339 with R500 is the typical radius of the cluster, sorry, I don't know if I introduced it before, is defined as the radius that contain an average density 500 times the background density. So, and is the typical radius to describe the cluster is more or less half of the virial radius. So is the typical radius of the cluster, and it spans from 2.8 arc minutes, sorry, for the smaller one, to almost 8 arc minutes for the larger one, that is 263. Okay, so now we discussed the sample and the instruments. Let's go into the detail of the technique. I will not describe the X-ray technique here because it was not developed by me. I have it in a collaboration, but Federico De Luca, that is a PhD student in Tor Vergata, performed the X-ray analysis. So I just performed the millimetric analysis. And our millimetric pipeline consists of two steps. We first perform a component separation on Planck and SPT data separately to isolate the emitting of this component from the spurious emission, so essentially the thermal dust and the primary CMB anisotropy. Then we combine SPT and Planck maps into a joint fit of a cluster profile to obtain the pressure profile, the joint pressure profile from the system. So let's start describing the component separation technique we used for Planck. It was developed by Bourdain et al. In 2017. It is a tempest fitting technique in which the galactic thermal dust and the primary CMB anisotropy template, that are the important one here, are obtained by a wavelet reconstruction from the two channels that we assume to be dominated by this emission. So the 857 channel for the dust and the 217 channel for the primary CMB anisotropy. So that's what we do, is we took this channel, we cleaned them from the noise with a wavelet denoising technique, and then we fit this template to the other channel and we remove them to obtain the cleaned Kunyer-Zeldovich signal. You can see here some examples of the reconstruction. Here, the black dot represents the radially average mass, cleaned mass. And in cyan, you see the expected YSZ, the YSZ signal. This can be seen as a first guess of the galaxy, cluster profile, radial profile. And in blue, green, and red, you can see the spurious component that we have subtracted to match the expected Kunyer-Zeldovich. As you can see, an important thing to notice, because it will be important in the later on, is that the dust contaminates essentially only the high frequency channel, while the small frequency channel are dominated by the cluster signal, and the low frequency channel are dominated by the cluster signal and the primary CMB. Okay, and this is important for SPT, because for SPT we cannot use the same technique, because SPT essentially lack high frequency channel that we can use to obtain a dust template. So that we use a different technique. Luckily, we run several tests, and we do not find signs of dust contamination in our sample. This can be explained by essentially three reasons. The first one, the most obvious, is that SPT observe at low frequency. I remember you that the SPT observe at 90, 150, and 220 gigahertz. So where the galactic dust emission is lower. And furthermore, the SPT map are intrinsically high pass filtered due to the filter transfer function. So this is a preprocessed. SPT is essentially blind to the large scale. Since the dust, the galactic dust, comes from is a diffuse emission, this preprocessing, this high pass filtering, essentially remove large part of it. Furthermore, our cluster are quite far from the galactic plane, so where the galactic emission is higher. So these reasons combine, are probably the reasons for which we do not find significant dust contamination in our species. So that we remain with we have to reconstruct only the CMB primary anisotropies. But we cannot use, as we do from Planck, the 220, in this case, channel that is picked on CMB anisotropies. Kunyer-Zeldovich is zero at 220 gigahertz. So we can use this channel as a pure CMB one. But unfortunately, the 220 gigahertz channel of SPT is very noisy, so cannot be used alone to track the CMB. So we resort to a technique that is a multi-scale internal linear combinator that also allow us to include one of the Planck channels in the reconstruction of the CMB. So we combine the SPT map and the Planck 217 into a single map of the expected primary CMV anisotropy. To do that, we first convolve the Planck 217 channel with the SPT window function to obtain an SPT-like Planck map. This is a map that contains only the small scale of Planck that match SPT. Then we decompose the SPT map in a low-pass and high-pass filtered maps. The low-pass filtered maps match the frequency sensitivity or the spatial sensitivity of the SPT-like Planck map, so they can be combined together. This can be seen by eye that they stay the same. So that with the two spatial frequencies in hand, we combine them with an internal linear combination algorithm, the large scale and the small scale separately. This algorithm, the internal linear combination, is very used in CMV analysis and consists in combining in a linear combination the different maps, computing the weight in a way that minimizes the variance with respect to a constant component like the CMV, and we add the constraint to null the Sunyaev-Zeldovich component, so a component that has the same spectral characteristics of the Sunyaev-Zeldovich. This to avoid to include the residual from the cluster in our CMB. So we combine together the large scale, we combine together the small scale, and then we recombine together smaller large scale to obtain the CMB template. We subtract this template to the raw data to obtain the cleaned Sunyaev-Zeldovich map. So at this point, we are with the cleaned Sunyaev-Zeldovich Planck channel and the cleaned Sunyaev-Zeldovich SPT channel. And we combine them together in a joint fit of a generalized NFW profile, of also called Nagai profile, that is actually a double power law, but, you know, astronomy is about naming stuff like stars, asteroids, and so we compute the character profile in this way. We we project it on the sky and convolve it with the instrument response of each channel, and we fit it to the data. This double power law has five parameters: the amplitude, the concentration parameter, and three slopes. You could ask why a double power law has three slopes, because actually beta is the slope of the outer region, gamma is the slope in the core, while alpha is double the intermediate radii slope, but is actually it governs the width of the transition region between the beta power law and gamma power law. So larger is alpha and faster is the transition between the beta regime and the gamma. So this became a sort of intermediate slope. However, in our fit, we left three parameters, so the inner slope, the outer slope, and the amplitude, and we fix the alpha and the concentration parameters to the universal value measured by Arnaud in 2010. And we perform the fit using a Monte Carlo Markov chain algorithm, and we obtain our posterior for our parameter. You can see an example here. Up here you can see instead the comparison with the data, where you can see that the fit that is in red matches the data very well. So here our main result, that is the comparison with the pressure profile obtained by XMM Newton. So we have to perform the comparison in a narrow region from 0.1 to 1 R500. This is because the millimetric data are insensitive to the inner core, since the resolution is too low, while the X-ray data cannot see the out first because the X-ray luminosity depends on the square of the density, and since the density drops very fast, also the X-ray luminosity drops very fast and goes below the ground after Earth. In this plot, you can see, pay attention, that the x-axis is linear and is not logarithmic, as is usually shown in this kind of plot. This is because we just span one order of magnitude, okay, so we don't logarithmic plot. But pay attention, because people usually expect a logarithmic plot. And you can see in blue the results from our millimetric fit. And in red, the pressure obtained from the X-ray, from the relation between temperature and density. So this is a spectroscopic and photometric analysis, the one in red. The vertical line marks the SPT full wavelength maximum, while the dotted line here is the universal profile, As you can see, this comparison show a perfect match outside the full-width maximum, but the agreement is very good also inside the PSF, probably because the model we are using is good. And the agreement do not is good regardless of the morphology and the angular size. As you can see from the, as you can infer from the position of the width at maximum here, the dimension of the cluster are very different. This one is the largest one. Here we have some smaller one. The only exception, small exception here, is the Phoenix cluster, but this is a quite problematic guy, because Phoenix cluster is a family cluster, and it emits first, it's the smallest and the farthest of every of all our clusters. So this is, can create some problems for the millimetric analysis. But furthermore, its emission is strongly contaminated by AGN. So with the X-ray analysis was very challenging here. And there is also the possibility that the AGN partially contaminates the millimetric data, even if we do not find evidence of in our analysis. However, given the considering this limitation, you can see that the agreement between the two the data set is very good, also in this case. Not excellent as in the other case, but we found a good agreement. Okay, finally, I can show you here an example of why it's important to combine together different data sets. Here you can see in this plot that we are back to the logarithmic axis. In the horizontal axis here, you can see in this plot in blue the joint fit, so the same profile as before, and in green the results from the analysis of only SPT. As you can see, while in the core the vertical lines are the SPT and the Planck fluid at maximum, which for Planck we use the 5 at minute. The resolution of the most is the highest resolution, and you can see in the core the two feet essentially coincide, so this means that expected SPT is driving the feet, but in the outskirts outside the Planck limitation maximum, you can see that having Planck strongly improve the error bar to the fit in the outer region. This highlights the importance of the joint fit of the different things. So to conclude, we develop a complete set of tools to extract galaxy cluster pressure profile from the joint analysis of Planck and SPT data. implementing two specific pipelines to clean from the spurious component on CPT and Plant. From a comparison with the X-ray data, on a pilot sample taken from the TechMate catalog, we found a very good agreement between X-ray and CSS-V6. This showed that the combination of different millimetric data allows to track the profile from the inner to the outermost region of the cluster and significantly improve the constraints respect a single. In the future, we will extend the analysis to a larger part of the FTP catalog and also explore the synergy with other kind of X-ray observation. For example, with Sandra, we are working on a Sandra follow-up of 67 FTP cluster, that is the PhD project of Claudio Massonari. Okay, thank you. I finish.
Thank you. Thank you, Filippo. You're a very clear talk. Is there any question or comment, curiosity online or in the room? Eric, please.
Hey, hello.
Hello.
So, yeah, I had a question regarding your fit to the data, beta and gamma figures. Right, these ones. So, right, so gamma is the slope, the inner slope, right?
Yeah.
And you find a gamma which is slightly slower, lower than one. And one is the NFW value, right?
Not exactly, because NFW. No, it's not one. So I don't know how to, because essentially all the slope depend together. So depend one with another. So I don't know with this setup how to recover the standard NSW. I can tell you that the universal profile that is measured by Arnaud, but it's also measured by Planck, I think it was different, but however found a gamma of 0.3, the standard value of gamma usually.
Gamma of how much you said, sorry?
0.3.
0.3 is the NFW
is
value.
The standard value is the universal value, so the one measured on a large number of clouds.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I don't know how it is related to the standard NFW, because also depend on the value of alpha. So this is a bit complicated.
Because if in your function you have alpha equal 1,
mm-hmm.
and you have beta equal 4 and gamma equal 1, I think you end up with the NFW profile. Ah, but this is the pressure.
This is the pressure.
I think, so, okay.
I think that the profile would be the same to the density profile only if the temperature is constant, right? As a function of radius.
Yeah.
In a perfect fluid, for perfect fluids. But here nothing is perfect.
Yeah, so I think the underlying question is whether this is consistent with NFW or without or not.
With the standard NFW, I don't think so, because otherwise I never compare with the standard NFW, but I don't know.
And this,
you need to fit cluster. Usually, you need you have some problem because you cannot have a pure NFW because we are looking at variance. So that usually in the outskirts you have to correct because when you observe the pressure theory, there is for the infall of material, so this deviates strongly from the standard visualization, while in the center there are a lot of high energy phenomena, like for example HDN of shocks, so you have to correct again for these phenomena, so that you observe a lot of scatter in the center and in the outskirts, and at the very end you can find a good so let's say that the hydrostatic equilibrium is well respected only at intermediate radii. So where you can use a fixed profile, while if you observe the center and the outskirts, there is a lot of, so you are not looking at the pure.
I see. And is it then related with some, is it consistent with some standard CDM simulations then?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's difficult, you know, because here we have variance. So.
No, I know, yeah. CDM simulations with hydro.
Yes. Hydro, so you have to use hydro.
Okay.
Again, on this point, actually, the value gamma equal to 1 and beta equal to 4 are marginally consistent, looking at the bottom left contour plots, are marginally consistent at 2 sigma, provide the P naught, so the scale of pressure is very low, meaning a quite diffuse gas, right?
Yes. Yeah, then so then consider
that where the Navarro-Franke-White in very specific conditions.
Yes. So notice that this is a single cluster. So you do not expect, so essentially in reality, no cluster follow really the NFW. Not
everything. Sure, I agree. But I mean,
so as you can see here, for example, the guy you are looking at here, is him 53. Mm-hmm. That as you can see, first example is not spherically symmetric because there is an asymmetry here, and so to make a cosmological consideration, you have at least to look to the joint fit of a profile to a lot of them. For example, the universal profile that we spoke before was obtained from the joint fit of 60 plus. Because at that point, you can have some information that do not depend on all the non-linearities on the. You know, the interest on the single parameter of the single cluster is not so big. It's more important is the shape of the profile, but because there is a lot of degeneracy between these parameters.
Mm-hmm.
So I will not use for cosmological speculation, the parameter we obtain.
Looking at, again at your the 6 images, which is the typical size of the point spread function or resolution, if you wish, here.
So wait a moment. For example. Depend because these images are rescaled to R5.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly depend on the dimension of the cluster, and this cluster dimension on the sky are very different. For example, 339, so the size is 2 times R500. 339 is 2.6 2.8 arc minutes. So the point spread function of SPT is 1.7. You can consider that you have a 4-point spread function of SPT here, roughly. 263 instead, R500 is 8 arc minutes. So the size here is 16. So it's 16 arc minutes and you have a 10. So it's more clear if you look at this here, because I find the mark the full width of SPT for each of the class.
Okay. Okay. So you cannot really trust on the points on the left of the vertical line, right?
No, absolutely.
Okay. Thank you.
And on the X-ray resolution, probably before is 15 arc
seconds. Thank you, Filippo. Any other question or comment in the room? No? Okay, so maybe we can stop here. Thank you, Filippo, again.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you to you. As I told before, there are no seminar scheduled for next week. If you have visitors or if you wish to present something, you're welcome. Otherwise, see you in a couple of weeks. Bye-bye.
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 Thank you. Bye.